Shapeless Mathcast?
Yeah.
From podcast.shapelessmath.com.
That rules, yeah.
Are you ready, boys?
Yeah, braced and ready.
Here we go.
Do it.
Number 49.
Watch roll.
40.
The one before the big one.
Quattro Nueva. Is it time for the sponsor?
You know me, you know who I am.
Okay, we're just a little bit of the sponsor.
Yay. And to my left is Sir Mulder.
Signora Miriam Peace.
To his left, Amber.
Signora Miriam Peace.
And to her left and my right, return guest, Paul.
Paul, artist and hungry person who's eating. So if you're smacking and weird noises, it's my fault. I don't think I'm hungry.
He's eating. Like the most like laden hot dog I've seen in a while. Like, I think I saw toy cars and stuff on it. Food from Gary's Hamburgers.
Yes.
That's right. He's the snail for SpongeBob. And
yes.
He makes hamburgers. Damn, dude. You had two of those hot dogs. You're having a burger too?
I haven't eaten anything all day. I am hungry.
Fucking shit.
I am hungry. I shall eat.
Okay. Hey.
Speaking of which, is it time for the sponsor?
Sure.
Yay.
Our sponsor this week is Reese's Pieces and Peanut Butter Hershey's Kisses. So basically, the peanut butter is the peanut butter.
And to re-mention the craft, again, there was one part where she took off the plate in a Brady Bunch food that Reese's Pieces Reached for a ship, and then she, when I first saw the movie, I thought she said Reese's Pieces of Reached for a ship, and I carried that for a couple of years before I finally figured out exactly what she said.
All right.
Makes perfect sense.
Why not?
So, yay, Reese's Pieces of Reached for a ship.
So, all you, like, almost goth girls out there who saw that movie,
you can visit us online at podcast.shapelessmass.com. You can visit me online at shapelessmath.com. Visit Mr. Pierce at...
Check out my YouTube.
YouTube and watch his incredibly long...
YouTube.com/ShermanDePierce.
His incredibly long, but very in-depth explanation of why the moon landing was real. So, you can email us with this thing right here.
Please remember to send all email, all hate mail, and all comments to... ebaofvn@gmail.com and sirmildredpierce@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
I was going to play the first song I ever heard the F word in.
Ah.
Okay.
That's fucked up.
Run DMC. Called Hit It Run. From their Raising Hell album. My favorite song on the album, not because of the F word, I mean, it's just a really good song, but I just remember I actually, like, when I first heard it, I rewound the tape, like, three or four times.
Like, what is that word?
Like, what?
I've never heard this before.
No, it was just, I was shocked.
Yeah.
I was, like, 12 years old, and I was very Christian upbringing.
And you're
I was
like,
Mom, I didn't think they were allowed to do that type of thing. Yeah, I went straight to my mom. Mom, what does fuck mean? And then she beat me with a hickory stick, and I had to sleep under the back porch for several months, eating nothing but...
But you still got to listen to Run DMC.
Yeah,
so
you still, strangely enough, let me listen to Run DMC.
So sadly, your Christian upbringing was centered around you being denied information? Please say that's not right.
Denied information, I don't know, I mean, maybe denied access to I guess music is a form of information, but I was censored growing up, yeah.
I wasn't.
Born to rock around the clock. You can't say I'm not. And in case you forgot, I'm the king of rock.
Up. Run-DMC with Hit It Run, and then we watched the YouTube video of me painting their garage, and the song's called Black Paint.
And be sure and let us know what you thought of the video that you didn't get to watch, but here.
But you can go to the video. Just go to YouTube and put in EBAOFVN, like Echo Brava Alpha, Oscar Foxtrot, Victor November.
You sucker him in with the sound and make him watch the video by go.
And
wow.
Then watch the video.
That's almost like drug dealing, except.
It's also called Black Paint.
It's like sound dealing.
Sound dealing. That's
sound dealing. You're sound dealing.
Mildred reviews the world.
I'm reading this right now. I've had this for years, but I had it the way I haven't read it in a long time. You ever read this?
I've looked through it before, like when I worked at Borders.
It's a little dated now, because it's got like, you know, how his turntable works.
That's
like,
cool.
But it did have how a CD works.
People still use turntables. I don't know if you know that, but...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
Actual mechanisms or visual metaphors?
Okay. We're going to institute a cock punch rule.
Cock punch.
Every time someone says the word nutter, I get to punch you in the cock.
Punch me?
Yep.
Even if she says it?
Yep. So you say nutter from now on.
Okay.
Oh, wait. And she's
mental.
His girlfriend, so... Wow.
Yeah, I like to see a little bit of
this. Yeah, that's a pretty round-the-world way to get to it, but yeah.
Anyway.
So...
A needle pulling thread.
Oh, do you want me to review this? It's got really pretty pictures in it.
So you're already familiar with it too. Yeah, he's an amazing artist. If you like that, his other books are pretty good. I got a couple of other books. The one I don't have that I really like is Motel of Mystery. It's about an archaeologist who discovers this motel, like a modern motel. So he starts acting like everything in the motel is like this ancient ceremony, like hundreds of thousands of years old, or maybe thousands of years old. And it's all like, you know, so like at one point he's wearing the toilet seat on his head, and he's got like different things in the bathroom, and he's like kneeling in front of the toilet to demonstrate like what the ceremonial customs might have been, and like he's breaking down what the different like items in the motel might have been to the people who lived in this strange ancient civilization.
So modern Augusta or future Hepzibah, your choice.
Right.
Gotcha.
The book is How It's Made. It basically breaks down into very easy to understand terms the physics behind so many things that we take for granted. I mean, it starts off breaking down just a simple what a lever is and what it does and how it works and why they're so important. And starts showing you stuff that have levers in them, like paper punches and toenail clippers and scissors and...
Certain parts of...
Certain parts of Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. And the physics engine from Half-Life 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a whole chapter just on how Dukaki works.
We've started to begin this discussion before, and I don't want this to continue, because I don't want to know what that is. I really don't.
It's a Japanese term.
The
way things work.
I don't want to know how that works.
Yeah, that's cool. I like it.
Well,
yeah.
If you have to know, you can look at the German Goo Girls.
I don't want to know.
That's not a joke either.
Imagine like a bunch of guys.
We know that band. What's the name of the band? Circle Jerks.
Yeah.
Name difference. Circle Jerks, Pearl Jam, your choice.
Is that where Pearl Jam comes from, really?
I don't know.
Those of us who don't like the music think so.
I'd never heard that before, but that makes perfect sense.
Yes, see?
Wow.
Nirvana.
Now, 10, the first album, like that. Everything else got kind of annoying.
Paint It White.
There you go. Okay, so throughout the podcast, I guess that's tonight's theme. Name all the songs / bands that you can actually take back to Bukkake and the related.
Okay, so...
Thumb for the book?
Yes. 2.5.
Just 2.5, really?
Up. 2.5 up. Not down.
Oh, 5?
3 thumbs. 3.5 thumbs.
I would think it would be like a 4...
3.5.
Pretty good book.
It is pretty good. You can even look up how thumbs work.
Any thumbs down?
It's a bit short.
It's a pretty thick-ass book. What do you do a bit short?
Oh, come on. It's barely gotten 300 pages.
So, yeah.
Ooh, here we go.
Yeah.
Got the moon landing.
Huh?
Does it have the moon landing?
It's got a little space probe.
Does it talk about how the moon landing was faked?
Uh-huh.
How that worked, that they faked the moon landing?
How did the moonset work?
Well, fake the moon landing, that falls under CSI territory, doesn't it?
Sure.
I don't think CSI is in here. It's got Jacques Cousteau.
Well, you know how Jacques Cousteau works. Isn't he dead?
Mostly
dead.
Mostly dead, deadish?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what's the next category?
How about, movie?
The Darjeeling Limited.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That's a good one. I like that one. She didn't like it as much, I don't think, but she watched the whole thing, except for the first 30 minutes.
That's because she doesn't like what she constantly refers to as embarrassment comedies. I'm sure there's
it was a really
heavy dose
comedy.
Of embarrassment in it.
Really? Was it?
Yeah, that's an embarrassing part.
Well, for those of us that don't know the movie, what's it about?
It's about,
his brothers, his father's passed away, and they feel like they messed up from the time of the funeral, and they're on this search to find their mother, who's like a sister in a convent somewhere in the
Himalayas.
In the Himalayas. It's really weird. It's them on this train ride from just to get to their mother on the Darjeeling Express.
Yeah.
And it's Owen Wilson, and his face is almost completely damaged because he got fucked up so badly right before the trip. And it's just, these guys are just fucking out and end up some really weird adventures, including walking out a river with dead children in their arms. Kind of fucked.
So a movie that would have been hilarious circa 1972, made here in 2008.
It's not really a comedy.
It's not a comedy, it's not a drama, it's just kind of...
It's in the same universe as the rest of Wes Anderson. It's a Wes Anderson movie, so it's
the same whole world cannonball feel that made me walk out of that the first time.
Kind of sort of a comedy, but not a hilarious. I mean, his movies started out like Bottle Rocket was actually pretty funny in a lot of spots.
What category does that fall under, though?
Movie.
Lost in Translation.
Yeah, Lost in Translation, Napoleon Dynamite kind of rings to mind a little bit.
That was definitely an embarrassing comedy.
So I wouldn't call it a comedy. I call it, like, entertaining invasion of privacy.
It makes me squirm. Invasion of privacy makes me squirm a little bit.
What is that?
Catfish.
Bloody hell.
So when you said he was going to Ryan's earlier, I think you were right. Came back with two hot dogs, a hamburger, catfish.
Two double cheeseburgers, two slaw dogs.
You had two burgers. Oh. Two double cheeseburgers, two slaw dogs.
Have not eaten today.
He's gonna
have eaten now.
He walked in.
I'm okay.
We're going to roll him out. He's going to be Violet Beauregard.
Anyway, so am I supposed to give some thumbs?
Mm-hmm.
What were we talking about before?
Memorizing Children.
Journaling Limited.
Oh, yeah. That's a good movie. I like that one. You seem to like it. You sat through it till the end, you know.
For lack of anything better to do.
Yeah.
To pass the time for the movie.
Wasn't it a beautifully filmed movie, at least?
The scenery was
and
absolutely
that was worth it.
That's what kept me on the couch, was just seeing the countryside out the window as they're going along on this voyage.
I think he's always been a very visual kind of filmmaker, and he just takes that to the extreme in this movie, because it's just so easy to do in India.
What's your review food or review recent pieces?
They're pretty good. I like the peanut butter and all. These are the special, we got the Hershey's Kisses too, the peanut butter. This is the sponsor for this week.
Yeah, the recent pieces specifically. They're really hard to find. You ever notice that?
Not really. I don't look for them that much, I guess. Yeah. They just sort of weren't cool anymore after that.
Well, quick, where do you look for Reese's Pieces?
In the candy aisle of any given store that sells candy.
And you can't find any.
Sometimes you can. Obviously, I would have to find
them. They keep them next to the peanut butter.
It's not as easy to find as this, like other.
Okay. Like bread. Yeah, you look around, there's bread everywhere. Not like Reese's Pieces.
Hmm. I must be going to the wrong CVS.
I have a loaf of bread up my ass, but... Hi.
Well, if there were Reese's Pieces, we'd give a damn. Those are hard to find.
Butter for you.
No, I certainly don't want bread at all.
How's your hamburger?
Complete.
How was the other hamburger?
You done? Did you eat all your food?
Yes, it's all done. And it fell. Lack of hunger, I give it a four. Yeah, four thumbs.
Four bowels up.
That's from,
dessert? You got some dessert?
No, I got water. I'm good.
Buttery dessert. Yeah, I'll give Reese's Pieces three thumbs up, maybe like two thumbs down for making me thirsty. They should, and why don't they have jellies? Reese's Jellies Pieces. Like, she's gonna have peanut butter and jelly in the same kind of handful of candy.
Because they crush rather easily.
That sounds awesome. And like little bread candies. Like, big handful of bread and Reese's Pieces.
You apparently
Reese's. Milk ones, you know, with milk inside them?
You apparently missed out on the marshmallow pizza slices.
I had those.
Yeah.
No, marshmallow
pizza. It's a pepperoni pizza slice made of marshmallows that apparently sucks quite a bit.
It's not made out of gummies. I think I had one that was made out of gummies.
Again, to see the creative process in mind and just see it happen in front of you.
It's like those gummy french fries that came with a little packet of strawberry jam.
Yeah.
Okay, ketchup.
Yeah. Let's make a food that looks just like the one food, but tastes like something completely different.
Tastes like ass.
Yeah.
How about music?
Music? Can we do the Portishead?
It sucked.
In general. Huh?
And I never thought I would say that about Portishead, but it sucked.
Nah, it's awesome.
I was completely unimpressed. I was very, very, very disappointed.
I think it's the best stuff yet.
I like it.
Just being honest.
It'll grow on you, dude.
Yeah, maybe.
But I like it. I mean, I haven't listened to it for a few days, unfortunately, so... wish I could have a better kind of feel to it. Well, what do you think of it?
I love it.
Uh-huh.
But Holly, do you
want to hear? 4 out of 4 scale, I'd say 4. If we're in a 10 out of 10 scale, I'd say...
Well, we're using thumbs. But only I know how to use the thumbs. Just kidding. But it's good. It's got that kind of roughness that I'm digging, and it doesn't sound like their old stuff, and that's what I like about it.
See, that's what I love, their old stuff. They had a winning formula, and then they just changed it up. The album is way much more rock, not enough hip hop. And that's what I liked about Portishead, was the fact that they blended that so seamlessly, and that's all gone. It's like they took a shit on it.
I don't think
with
so.
With this brick of an album.
I think it's just more subtle now.
And are we going to play a demo cut from the album?
I think they're getting back to their roots, you know.
Roots? The first album would be going back to the roots, and it sounds like the first album.
Well, not their, like their first album roots. I'm talking about, like, their influences and stuff and how they came to be who they are, you know. Okay. Foregoing, like, you know, the standard breakbeats for a good, juicy drum machine.
I could go with that. I wish there was more of that jazzy, down-tempo... you know, sound. I don't know. I will admit that they're not selling out. I mean, it doesn't sound like they changed up their sound to appeal to a larger group of people or anything like that. But, I mean, I was disappointed.
Well.
I was expecting another album like their self-titled album or Dummy or something.
A few albums.
Yeah. We'll go ahead and play the rip.
This is one that's very much like what I was talking about, getting back to their roots. It's kind of like this English folk ballad. That kind of warps into this weird kind of organ-driven...
Can you give thumbs real quick?
I'll give it a 4 thumbs up.
8 thumbs down?
Probably. I can't think of any right now. Maybe not enough scratching?
Yes.
Just for you.
Thank you.
Send the dog home. follow through the glory of life. I was scattered on the floor, disappointed and sore. And in my thoughts, I have bled for the riddles I've been fed. Another lie moved over. Tenderness I feel will send the dark.
work has to be accomplished in the same finite 24 hours we each have. Some of us do it. Most do some of it. Some others procrastinate. And some never get around to it. Those who get things done and do them well know the right way. And that's time. Time
called Time Management. Got that off YouTube.
Cool.
Search for Equilibrium Time Management. You can see the video of him making that up as it goes. You're actually watching him make that song, so that's pretty cool. And I mean, he makes it live. He doesn't, like, it's not, like, edited, like, you know, over a couple days or anything like that. It's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, where Porter said has recently failed miserably, this guy got it pretty much spot on.
Yeah. It gave me a good DJ Shadow vibe, and I've been missing that. Another person who kind of fucked up.
Well, you take the whole, like, I'm falling asleep at the turntables tempo hip-hop, which was Portishead's main drive and what DJ Shadow debuted under. And those of us who like it, you know, miss it. Those of us who, you know, have to have new shit every time somebody brings an album out might get tired of it.
Well, and the difference between the two, in Shadow's case, he sold out.
Okay.
He said in interviews that he changed up his style because he wanted to appeal to a larger audience. So that would be what the textbook definition of selling out is. So
at least Portishead hasn't sold out?
I didn't think... I actually said Portishead has not sold out.
Yeah.
But...
So at least they have that going for them.
Yeah.
Well, if anything, if you think about it, Portishead might have sold out in the beginning and got back to the core of what they thought they were trying to do in the first place.
I doubt that. I mean, they really helped define the sound and...
Yeah.
It's hard to sell out when what you're doing is really completely new.
Like, there were groups who've done that before them, but they were the first ones to really, like, make that the entire album and make that the entire focus of what they did. And do it well. Like, they've really set a standard. I think about all
them
the things that wouldn't exist were not for them.
It'll be interesting to hear, like, what Massive Attack and Tricky do next.
Well, Massive Attack broke up, so they're not going to do anything.
I'm sure they'll do something on their own.
Not a big Tricky fan either. I've given him a chance, and I just can't get into it. So yeah, moving along.
This week's game.
The way we play it, we don't play the exact movies of Kevin Bacon, though.
Okay.
You have to connect two movies together with the fewest number of movies between them. The first who gets it with the fewest number wins.
Uh huh.
So
start out with a thing, beginning actor, and in the race.
No, it doesn't do with actors. I mean, it has everything to do with actors, but you don't say, use this actor. I mean, you have to connect the movies with actors, which, you know, the share between the two. But you just name the movie, then you name the other movie, and you have to connect the two using the actors that were in those movies.
Yeah.
So, like, name a movie.
Not Ocean.
Ocean's 9.
We'll use Ocean's 11 and...
And,
Ocean's 12.
Mad Max.
Without using Ocean's 13 in the middle.
Mad Max?
Mad Max. Does it matter?
First one.
Is there only one
first
with,
one.
Like, one famous person in it?
Mel Gibson, basically. Who else was in the first Mad Max movie? Okay, so Ocean's 11 to Mad Max.
Well, who was in, who was in Passion of Christ with
him? He wasn't in Passion of Christ, though.
Well, he was responsible for it.
But he wasn't in it.
I think he had a cameo.
Where?
I think he was one of the guards hitting...
I'm serious.
Look on IMDb.
While I think about the answer. In Ocean's 11?
Oh, Passion of Christ.
Like he was Christ? He was the Passion.
Okay, the movie, Give Me Back My Son! That one.
Huh? Oh, Ransom?
Thank you. Okay, so Mel Gibson was in Ransom with who?
What's her face that was also in that Lethal Weapon movie?
Well,
Renee
Russo. With Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci, okay, Joe Danny Pesci Glover. Was in,
Home Alone 2.
Okay. Wasn't he?
Yes.
Because he was in Home Alone 1. Him and Daniel Stern.
Huh?
Daniel Stern was in Home Alone. Pick one. Right?
Sure. I'm trying to think of myself, so you all have your little thing. Don't ask me any questions right now, though.
You're just thinking out loud.
I'm over here trying to win. Well, he looks at me and goes, right?
Oh!
Usually that means you expect a response.
I am learning about what the hell you were talking about a second ago as we're going.
Okay.
See, now I get it.
It was not in Waterworld.
Who was a bad guy cast in Waterworld, quick?
I don't know. I've never seen Waterworld.
Dennis,
Miller.
Dennis Hopper. And Dennis Hopper was in...
But he wasn't in Waterworld, so there's no point in talking about it.
What?
No, you go ahead. Do what you're doing. You're fine. You're fine.
You're the one who knows what the hell's going on in here. I'm stumbling through it as I hear it.
What's complicated here? You connect two movies together based off the actors that were in the movies, but the actor
doing that.
In the movie you're connecting to has to have actually been in that movie.
Okay, so they can't be executive producer or something?
No, it has to be actors.
No.
Okay.
All right. I've got it. Okay.
Julie Roberts was in Ocean's 11.
Uh-huh.
And also in Conspiracy Theory.
Was she?
Wasn't she? With Mel Gibson.
Oh, yeah, I think she was. Yeah, that's a good... I think you're right.
Who was in Waterworld.
Or as I like to call it, Mad Max. That's a good job. You did it in one movie. I'm pretty sure you're right about that. I think
alright.
And now that, you know...
You're feeling pretty foolish.
That was Julia Roberts. Yeah, you're right.
I get to name one.
Okay, yeah, name one.
And then, who gets to name the other one?
Well, I haven't named one yet.
I'm going to do, Doctor Strangelove.
Doctor Strangelove.
Yes. To...
No, you don't get to name both movies, dude.
I'm just putting the thing in the middle.
Oh, okay,
to,
thank you.
And then ellipses.
Like okay, thank you. Yeah, I'm sure that's what you're doing, too.
Uh-huh.
To
whoever shouts out one.
Oh, I was going to say Fight Club.
Fight Club.
There we go.
Yeah. Yeah, because there aren't any actors we've heard of in Fight Club.
Yeah, I know.
Unless Meatloaf was an extra.
You poor, stupid bastard. Was anybody from Dr. Strangelove in Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Who the hell was in Dr. Strangelove?
Peter Sellers.
And,
Well, Peter Ustinov, right?
Who?
There was someone else... Slim Pickens and, what's his name? James Earl Jones!
Yeah, James Earl Jones was in it.
James Earl Jones was in Dr. Strangelove.
Okay.
I mean, that gives you a lot of places to go, Trevor.
Yeah. Like CNN. This is CNN.
And The Lion King?
There you go. Star Wars.
What?
Star Wars.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. Star Trek? Wasn't
right.
He Star Trek too?
Yes, that's right.
Wasn't he the Klingon?
He was the guy, and he did the voice of Darth Vader in Star Trek. That's right. Okay.
What was the other movie we were going to?
Fight Club.
Fight Club, that's right. Fight Club. Mm-hmm.
Well, Peter Ustinov was in,
Peter was who was what?
The guy with the goatee does car tricks.
Evel Knievel?
Penn and Teller?
Oh, card?
Card.
Oh, I thought you said car.
Penn and Teller?
Car. Car trick.
Which one has a goatee?
Penn.
No. Did not know that. But yeah, Peter Ustinov, he and Meatloaf share a bra size.
Who?
I'm totally confused.
Yeah.
You'd have to
you're
do
that. You're not very good at this, are
you? James Earl Jones.
The movies I watch, nobody else has ever heard of.
Yeah, you've never seen Star Wars or, you know.
Okay, well, fine. Tell you what. We'll finish this round, and I'll give you some movies, and let's see if you can put them together, Mr.
They
I
have
everything.
To be movies we know
no,
of. Dude.
Yeah, it has to be an answer. Yeah, it has to be a question I can answer. Huh?
Yeah, so you don't know any of the names of the actors in any of the Star Wars movies at all? None of them?
Well, I'm trying to...
In other words, you don't. You don't know any of the Star Wars movie actors, huh?
I know maybe five.
And this is our fault, that you don't know who's in Star Wars. How is this our fault? Have you seen Star Wars, Paul?
Which one?
Any
six.
Of them. It's any of them. Just name one. Just name one.
Any actor in Star Wars? The whole
yes.
series?
Uh-huh.
Carrie Fisher.
There you go.
Good job! So you know some people in Star Wars.
Harrison Ford.
I'm just trying to figure out where...
Oh, yeah, wasn't it?
Boba Fett.
Boba Fett's in the person, he's a character.
Well, yeah, but he's still in it. He's his own kind of...
entity.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
You can use him.
That.
Frank Oz.
There you go. Yeah.
Good job.
He was in, Spies Like Us. Him. Spies Like Us.
Well, Frank Oz, he was more of a tech in Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he was also the voice of Yoda for a while there.
So they
okay,
got
so Star Wars,
Jones.
What, two?
Yeah, Star Wars 2.
Sure.
That'll work.
Whatever two happens to be in the fucking universe you could live in. I'm not sure if the Empire struck back or the Jedi got revenge. Which one was Yoda?
Jedi
yes.
got revenge. Star Wars 2, Jedi got revenge.
which
that's
like
new.
Which would be the remake? It's like the urban remake. Jedi got revenge up in this motherfucker. You Luke? Yo, what's up, man?
They're gonna remake.
Sorry about your mom's and shit, dog. Exactly. But
200 years from now.
But Doctor Strangelove. I can't name any characters from that movie because
we already helped you out with this.
Have you seen it before?
I saw it
when you were a kid.
No, wait. I'm thinking of Casino Royale. I'll stop now.
But the new one or the old one?
Practically the same movie. I mean, you know. It's
well, yeah. I mean, it's a bunch of chicks rolling around in their fucking bikinis while old guys smoke cigars, play cards, and make lame jokes.
That's exactly how I remember Dr. Strangelove going.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, outside of, you know, Peter Ustinov, you know, not the, but,
Who's Peter Ustinov?
How much you want about Peter Ustinov?
Peter Sellers falling downstairs. That's all I remember about either movie.
I have a feeling Peter Ustinov isn't even in Dr. Strangelove.
Do you even know who he is, first of all?
You know who Slim Pickens is.
He was that one guy in Doctor Strangelove.
He's a redneck schmuck in most of the movies are in the 60s.
Yeah.
Was he in Cannonball Run, maybe?
Probably, but he was definitely in Robin Hood. But see, I can't think of who else was in Robin Hood. I'm talking about the animated version, by the way.
Ah.
By the sheriff.
Right. The rooster?
No, the rooster was the narrator.
Right.
He was Sheriff Nottingham. He was like a
bear.
A bear or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe a weasel.
Damn furries.
I got it in three movies.
Okay.
Edward Norton was in American History X. Now, I can't remember dude's name, but the big fat guy who played his friend, who was like happy to see him get out,
mm-hmm.
was also in, is also one of the main people in the View skewverse. So he's in JSI and Bob Strike Back. He's the guy standing there at the 3DI thing. It's not a schooner! It's a sailboat! That guy. He's in American History X. And Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back has Carrie Fisher and, what's his name from Star Wars, Luke Skywalker?
Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill. And of course, James Earl Jones.
Wow.
Follow that?
Yeah, the little chasm the bus had to jump through was kind of a long one, but.
Oh. I did it though. Y'all didn't.
We're still working on it.
Oh, okay. You can beat three, then you win.
Okay.
Well, I think we've had enough of that, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was kind of. Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to check up on Yahtzee. He's going to interview Burnout Paradise.
Have you played Burnout Paradise?
No. I'm
really?
No interest in playing. I just love his reviews. But
you
Mr.
should play
Pierce,
it.
Mr. Pierce will like it because it's a racing game.
The guest spot.
People often ask me, Yahtzee, you Herculean exemplar. You have so much to say about what makes a bad game, but what is your measure of a good game? Well, actually, no one's ever asked me that. Mostly they ask retarded questions like, when am I going to review 20-year-old Nintendo games like everyone and their dog? But it's the kind of question I'd like to be asked, so I'm going to answer it. One of my measures of a good game is one that teaches me something. Burnout Paradise, for example, teaches me that if Princess Diana honestly couldn't survive a trivial little crash like that, then the girl must have been made out of wafers. If there's one thing that makes me squirt liquid hate from every bodily orifice, it's street racers. Bunch of smirking sideways baseball cap wearing fuck scoffs bobbing their heads in time with their hydraulics and extending random fingers like they're about to intrude upon somebody's pubic region. As a street racing game, Burnout Paradise earns points right from the start for not featuring any of those grope cunts or indeed any human beings at all. The game takes place in a strange post-apocalyptic future where advanced sat-nav systems have resulted in a race of murderous sentient cars, and the only surviving human being is an insane DJ calling himself Atomica, who spends his nights running around setting up ramps everywhere and his days holed up in a radio station trying to talk the cars into destroying themselves so that he might one day reclaim society. That's the only explanation I can think of for the total absence of pedestrians and why you never see any poorly strapped in children go hurtling through windscreens during one of the many, many, many high-speed crashes. Burnout is a game that hates players with a passion. If it were a fascist dictator, it would build concentration camps for players, and what's more, he'd lay every brick personally with cement mixed from his own blood. That's how much he hates you. Every aspect of the gameplay is geared to ensure that you crash as often and as viscerally as possible. The streets twist and turn unexpectedly, the main camera angle has the back end of your car taking up most of your view like a mongoloid hippo, and the streets are densely populated with pupils of the local driving school for elderly sufferers of Alzheimer's disease. And when you do inevitably crash, Burnout's gloating satisfaction hangs thick in the air. Slow motion sets in, the colour washes out, and the action switches to the optimal camera angle to watch yourself pirouette through the air, as if to say, hey everyone, come and see Captain Crashes a lot. I do admit, however, that flying 500 yards upside down while raining metallic painted scrap metal is, to coin a phrase, totally fucking sweet, at least when you're not in a hurry to get somewhere. Unfortunately, this being a racing game, you generally are in a hurry to get somewhere, and there's nothing that causes more auto-cannibalistic frustration than colliding with a bollard at full speed, 10 yards from the finish line, and having to watch yourself spinning on your roof for a few seconds while your opponents snatch first, second, and third place from under your mangled nose. Burnout Paradise's unique selling point is that it's an open-world game, one of those games usually pitched with a sentence beginning, like Grand Theft Auto, but. In this case, like Grand Theft Auto, but a hell of a lot more broken. The idea is that you can drive freely about the city as much as you like, and when you start a race, all you're given is a finishing point, allowing you to choose your own route. Fine in theory, but theories are treacherous things that can at any moment disintegrate like a biscuit raft, and the major flaw with this one is that you have to keep looking at your minimap to make sure you're on the right course. My driving instructor used to give me enough stick for taking my eyes off the road at 30 miles an hour, and here's you hurtling through the streets at Mach 10 with any number of crash hazards closing in on your distracted arse. My point is that the reason why racing games traditionally feature closed circuit tracks is that the fun in a street racing game comes from driving really fast and breaking things. That's a winning formula. Then you throw map reading skills into it, and it's the metaphorical shot of Bailey's, overpowering all the other flavors. I keep having to pause the game in the middle of high-speed chases to bring up the map, which, like a menstruating woman falling off a tall building, breaks flow. An open-world racing game could work. Carmageddon did something like that, and it was pretty fun in the late 90s kind of way. Maybe that's because there were lots of old ladies around to help relieve the frustrations, or perhaps because it didn't take control from you every shit-gargling time you ran into a wall to let the physics programmer dance on your grave for 20 interruptive seconds. There are more things I can get pissy about, like the lack of local multiplayer, or how the single-player gameplay basically involves grinding the same races about 100 shitting times, but you have to judge Paradise by different standards. This isn't a game intended to be played all weekend. This is a game that you play for maybe an hour or so to psych yourself up for playing a killer rock guitar solo or punching out an angry bear. Yes, this is a game for cool people who like fast cars and don't have time to play games because of all the sex they have. And if all you can do is sit there gabbing off about the design and game flow, then you've probably missed the smirking sideways baseball cap wearing point.
It was a bad review?
No, it's a highly accurate review. As a player of Burnout Paradise,
what,
the only downside...
What more can we hope from a critic? Other than an honest review.
Right. But the one downside of the previous Burnouts was the burning lap. That got really annoying, having to drive and not hit anything, just drive the whole lap perfectly in order and under a certain amount of time. Yeah, annoying, and there seemed to be a lot of them. Burnout Paradise is pretty much, well, like I said, Grand Theft Auto. You know the taxi or the ambulance levels where you have to take person A from point A to point B? Imagine an entire game based around that. Take Grand Theft Auto, drop the gunplay, the gang shit, the, you know, stealing cars from other people, and just do the ambulance and taxi levels.
Basically, take Grand Theft Auto and drop the Grand Theft Auto.
Where, you're just running missions from point A to point B, right. And if you can't,
If you don't know every street where you live, learning all the streets in Burnout Paradise is kind of embarrassing. Okay, because you can win races by memorizing the streets, the jumps, and the shortest routes and everything, but if you can't get from here to the mall without using, you know, I-520, then you shouldn't be playing Burnout Paradise.
All right.
Yeah. Want to follow that up with something? Music-wise?
Do you know this guy?
Say yes.
Well, what about my idea of the first time I heard Major curse word this song?
Oh, yeah.
If you like crazy.
No, I do not know this guy. What do you want to hear? Amber wants to play the first song that she heard the F word in.
Go for it.
What was it? It was my Two Love Crew.
Yeah.
Which one?
Any of them.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's the world's biggest dick.
Oh, no, that's... No, N.W.A. And you don't remember which version, though. There's two versions. So...
Oops.
The one that has the F word in it.
That would be both of them. It's called Don't Matter, Just Don't Bite.
Don't Matter, Just Don't Bite.
Or what's it? She swallowed it, I'm sorry.
Want me to do with it?
No matter, just don't bite.
She swallowed it.
Suck his dick from daddy.
She swallowed it.
Juicing at the lip.
She swallowed it.
It's the world's biggest dick.
What do you want me to do with it?
No matter, just don't bite.
Is the tempo, not talking about an info. So beep it out, here goes the info. This is a bitch that did the whole crew. She did it so much we made bets on who the hoe would love to go through. And for the shit that she does, give her a drum roll. Because the dumb bitch licks out the asshole. And I'll let you videotape her. And if you got a gang of niggas, the bitch will let you rape her. She likes sucking on dicks and licking up nut. And I even take the broomstick off the butt. Just to say that she did it with a rapper. But the pussy was more fishy than Red Snapper. But how many licks would it take? She asked to make MC Ren start gushing a vanilla shake. She took her tongue out her mouth, put it on top like a cherry. Started moving it like a snake and it was very irresistible. I couldn't pay the bitch to quit cause the hoe was doing some old crazy shit. That made me start having a fit cause the bitch sucked a hell of five dicks.
It's the world's biggest dick.
Don't matter, just don't matter.
It's the world's biggest dick.
Don't matter, just don't matter.
What do you want me to do with it?
Don't matter, just don't matter.
Yeah. Now one night I was at a drive-in and a car full of niggas straight drove in. I thought they was coming to start trouble, but no, five niggas in a bucket with the neighborhood hoe. Now what do you expect? They're gonna dog her like a doggy. 30 minutes later and the windows all were foggy. And I'm up in my car having a fit cause the bitch that I'm with said no fucking on the first date shit. And I'm like, damn, I wish I was in the bucket to be the sixth nigga with the hoe and I can fuck it. So I told the bitch I was with that I'm going to the snack bar and got the fuck out the car. Went to the bucket and I looked through the window. It was some niggas that I knew, they let me in, yo. And my turn was like next. I couldn't see a face, all I saw was a pussy in a chest. I wanted to see a face, I felt the order. People on the seat, oh shit, it's the preacher's daughter. And she's only 14 and a hoe, but the bitch sucks dick like a specialized pro. She looked at me, I was surprised, but wasn't passing up the chance of my dick getting baptized. I told the bitch to do it quick, you little hoe, hurry up and suck my dick.
It's the world's biggest dick.
No matter, just don't matter.
It's the world's biggest dick.
No matter, just don't matter.
What do you want me to do with it?
No matter, just don't matter.
She swallowed it.
Yeah.
Now I'ma break it down with a fact. Since the last, just don't bite it. Girls don't know how to act. Saying that they never would suck a dick, but when they tried it, they couldn't quit. Cause 90% of the bitches today, they love that shit. And those are the main ones that say they don't do it. But MC Ren knows the bitches are used to it. So fellas, next time they try to tell a lie that they never sucked a dick, punch the bitch in the eye. And then the hoe will fall to the ground. Then you open up her mouth, put your dick in and move the shit around. And she'll catch on and start doing it on her own. Acting like she's trying to suck the meat off a chicken bone. And then she won't let go. Because bitches suck nut out of a dick just like Drano. Get the last drop, unclogging the pipe. Then the stupid bitches are doing the same shit the next night. Because she just can't quit. Cause she's addicted. Addicted. She's addicted. Addicted. She's addicted to suck a good dick.
It's the world's biggest dick.
Don't matter, just don't matter.
It's the world's biggest dick.
Don't matter, just don't matter.
What do you want me to do with it?
Don't matter.
SWA when she swallowed it.
That was your first exposure to
oral sex?
First clear concrete memory I have of hearing explicit over-the-top profanity up to and including the F word. The first time that I remember it.
I mean, I have to admit, I mean, I'd heard, by the time I first heard NWA, I'd heard a lot of songs with cursing in it. And that was, like, NWA, I remember the first time I heard that, I was like, wow, I can't believe.
I was a very sheltered high school life that I didn't hear that song for the first time until I think I was in college.
That was way into their career at that point.
I lived a very sheltered white girl life, what can I say?
Yeah. Huh.
My parents only knew what me getting into hip-hop would mean. Well.
Yeah, my parents turned off MTV because Kurt Cobain killed himself. They called the cable company and have them to stop sending the signal for MTV into our house.
Well, were they afraid you guys were going to kill yourselves because Kurt Cobain did? Which you already knew. So it's kind of like closing the barn door after the cows get out of it.
I don't know what their logic was.
Do they think that Kurt Cobain killed himself because he watched too much MTV? If only he hadn't watched MTV, that nice young Kurt. He could have just stayed at home, shot some heroin, and lived another day. So, do you have any interesting stories from the shop, Paul?
Well, let's see. Stop me when you've heard, or stop me when you come across one I haven't told you yet. She wouldn't pay me because it looked too easy.
Heard it.
Okay.
Been there, done that.
Elucidate us.
Tattooing young lady, put a name on her wrist, I believe. And because I, in her eyes, did it too easily and too comfortably, she thought I didn't deserve to get paid because it was just too easy. You look like you did that too easily. I refuse to pay you.
So curious, does that approach work at, like, a fast food shop?
I would like to see her try that someplace else. It's like, she recovers after having her doctor successfully pull an emergency C-section and restart her heart a couple times. Yeah, you grease up the pedals and restarted my heart too easily. I don't think you deserve that the amount of money on this bill. You know, you're too good at saving lives. I refuse to pay the full amount because you're too good at your job.
Too good.
Yeah.
Too easily.
Yes.
I don't think I should have to pay for it.
Yeah, this Honda shouldn't cost me $16,000 because it's so well made.
Yeah, there's a sign I saw on the internet. You might appreciate it. You should have this at your shop, too.
I didn't say,
I probably
I'll be
did.
Back.
They probably made me take it down.
I'll be back.
I'll be back.
Oh, and while you're looking for that, there's a story of the lady with the penis on her hip.
Yeah. That's always good for a laugh.
Well, I don't really think so. It's kind of a really scary situation.
Do tell.
She wanted a tattoo of a penis to... In her words, she wanted the tattoo of the penis to remind all the men who came across her vagina of her dead husband.
Yeah.
Yeah, you told us this last time you were on the show.
Yeah, so the penis lady.
We offer three kinds of service. Good, cheap, fast. You can pick any two. Good service cheap won't be fast. Good service fast won't be cheap. Fast service cheap won't be good.
Yeah.
I like that. I like it a lot. It's kind of cheesy in that,
cheesy kind of way.
Way, but it's still kind of clever.
Yeah, well, let's just hope our customers are willing to read all of that. That's our one problem we have.
Ah.
There are our military customers, they tend to read things, we have a few paranoid people who read things, but there's a good percentage of
fast options
who refuse
should be first.
To read.
Wait, you mean you're sticking a needle full of color into my skin?
Details. Just put it in there.
Just stick it in there. Come on.
I didn't say nothing about that. I said I want a tattoo.
So did she get the penis?
Yeah, she did.
Did you work off like a photograph, or was it just any old penis?
Well, as much as she loved her husband, she didn't have a photograph for me to work from, so I had to just make one up.
Yeah.
What a shame.
But the problem I have with the whole thing is the fact that, let's say, she's about 52.
Mm-hmm.
She cons some guy into her bed, or invites some guy into her bed.
Drugs.
Yeah, he's about to hit it, and I am suddenly frightened by this icon on your hip. What does that mean? Well, that's my dead husband. He guards my vagina. Look at the time. I have to go be And, excuse me. Yeah, poor her.
Why did Mink keep losing their erection with me?
Was it an erect penis, or...?
Well, yeah, no. That's the other part. I get picked on because the penis I drew was not erect. It was, in fact, drooping.
See, now if you draw it erect, that would be good.
Well, it was actually a penis stolen from an earlier design I did, featuring a penis dripping fluids with a big pink bow on top that said, "My baby daddy."
Classy.
Yes.
Wow.
Another song that, was
who
famous.
My baby daddy? Who my
yeah.
Baby daddy?
Famous through girls' dorms throughout, colleges all over the United States.
Oh, yes, definitely. I can attest to that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think it's amazing that we've progressed as far as a species as we have.
Yeah, it is.
Well, we're almost done. Don't forget, it's only another 10 years?
Until 2012? Yeah, it's about 10 years.
Well, I forget which date. What's the final
year this is?
About 5 years.
Which is the final date? Is it 15? 16?
We haven't quite decided on it. Yeah.
2012.
What did John Peterson?
We'll let you know in 2012.
What did John Peterson?
About what specifically?
About when the world's gonna end.
Well, it wasn't gonna end. We're just gonna have a nuclear war.
Okay. When was the nuclear war?
2015.
You should play that song.
Is there a song called Pleasure?
No, there's a song called Gay Bar.
Gay Bar! Gay Bar!
It's called like that video, too.
Why?
No, trust me.
You're gonna love this song. It's called Gay Bar.
You like this. It's really good. I like it.
It's really good.
I'm not gay, and I like the song called Gay Bar.
Okay.
But you followed up with the Planet Cox androgyny theme song.
Huh?
We'll do that.
Planet Cox androgyny.
The band's called Panic Cock, and the song's called "In Driving Me Through the Song."
Gotcha.
So yeah, this is Electric Six with the song "Gay Bar." If you haven't seen the video we're about to watch, which features George W. Bush and Tony Blair, then you're truly missing out on the full experience of this song.
time all day when the boys are all straight, but the girls are all gay. I said we sit at home and type all day when the girls are all straight, but the boys are all gay.
We enjoyed the wonderful Gay Bar by Electric Six.
Yes.
This is the gayest podcast ever.
Maybe not.
Movie reviews for movies we've never seen.
We have... Oh, here you go. Horton Hears a Who.
There you go.
Anybody seen this? No.
No. I don't remember the book much either. Can you read the description for me?
Dr. Seuss's beloved tale of an elephant and his determination to save the inhabitants of Whoville, residing in a speck of dust. Jim Carrey, Steve Carell, and Seth Rogen. Lend their voices to the CGI animated flick.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
I
like Jim Carrey. I like Steve Carell.
Yeah, but it's not one of those. It's like. Remember when CGI movies were special? Like, wow, and it like blew you away, and now it's like, oh.
Now it's too easy. Why should we pay you? Gotcha. I know that song. I'll sing it with you.
Well, whatever, you know, it's like.
I'm skeptical.
Not to mention Dr. Seuss kind of sucks.
What are you talking about? Dr. Seuss is one of the greatest things ever.
Oh, you think?
That's heresy.
Okay.
But a 15-minute book that became an hour-long TV special on a good, on a good time out, stretched to a 2-hour movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's Jim Carrey. It's Steve Carell.
Exactly, it's Jim Carrey.
Now Jim Carrey has done some movies that were great.
Like, don't say Ace Ventura because that's an awesome movie.
Well, I was gonna say Ace Ventura 2. I actually like.
Okay. Ventura. Ace Ventura 2. That's another good one.
Of, what was that? The Deadpool. What?
Was he one of the main characters in it?
Yeah. Oh,
not really.
That's
a good one. I like that one.
Good movie?
He asked me to name some bad movies.
By Jim Carrey.
Yeah, well, Lemony Snicket's is good,
Yeah, I like Lemony Snicket.
Sherman Show was I like.
That's a good show. I like that show.
Sure, he's made some good movies.
Yeah. Not anymore, though. No, that number 22 movie. That 23 movie. This is not a coincidence. She's on her 23rd kiss. You know?
Oh, yep, 23.
Anyway.
Hey, we're on page 23.
Seriously?
Yeah. So, I say 5 stars. What do y'all say?
I give it 35 stars.
For which one?
Dang, 5. I'll say 6.
I'll say 4. Because, again, we're trying to inject urban expressions and modern crap into a
old crap
story that was only 15 minutes long.
Yeah,
when it was read to you.
He's got a point. I'm inclined almost to change my rating. I put that perspective.
Call me negative, but I am.
You're negative.
Amber? Five.
Copycat.
Peer pressure, huh? How about Step Up to the Streets? Which,
okay,
if I understand correctly, is a sequel to Step Up, am I right?
I don't know. I don't remember Step Up.
I swear to God, this is the shortest thing in the entire package, too.
Don't talk about yourself like that.
Spark?
Spark!
Spark! You would be a good judge. Hey,
okay, I'll explain innuendo in a minute. Go ahead.
Sparks fly between two dance students at the Maryland School of the Arts.
Mm-hmm. And then?
That's it.
No, what happens after that, though?
I'm assuming that they prove themselves in the dance competition.
Uh-huh.
And it's a triumph of the human spirit.
Oh, that's good.
So they get together and flash dance,
you know,
until
the
point breaks?
Sounds like an 8 or 9 to me.
Themselves, it ends up putting down the person who put them down.
Right.
Yeah.
8 or 9.
Have you maybe heard of this plot before?
Wasn't that Casablanca?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. You know, I'm starting to doubt your commitment to Sparkle Motion.
Okay. That movie deserves negative 5 stars.
Negative 5. I'm going to say probably 2 stars. And I think I'm being generous.
I believe in you. I'll share my vagina with you. Suddenly I believe too. I'm going to dance.
It's rated PG-13, so I don't care if it's
Yeah, they all were. Name a I can dance now I believe story. Okay, what was it rated? Pick one. Yeah, I can dance your wash. Ha ha, you fucked up. I've got a vagina here, feel it. Watch this! Well, he can dance. Movie's over. Great. All you need is penguins, you got a fucking, you know, Cirque du Soleil killer movie.
Does anybody have any clue what he's talking about?
No.
Pick one!
Your coworker makes me want to go out and read
the penguin one?
It's a book about a bunch of women trying to figure out what that is down there. Women from the 50s who weren't—they didn't. All they heard about it was the fact that it was to be used for passing waste, and when you get married, babies come out of it. Outside of that, it was to be left alone. Okay, and you know, suddenly they all turn about 40. Their mothers pass on, and it's like, so what exactly does this thing do? And you know, modern society explains, oh, that vagina thing of yours—it does wondrous things. Here's a list. And when they finally get the education of what it can do, they're expounding on the wonders of the piece of equipment they had the entire time and didn't know about.
Do they
vagina monologues.
Do they explain the trick about the banana and the yo-yo?
They may explain cucumbers in depth, so to speak. Sort of, kind of.
Well, you could substitute cucumber.
Yeah, I mean, pick your longer vegetable or fruit. Yeah.
The operative term here is getting
oranges.
The operative thing here is getting the yo-yo to actually work, you know. To
grapefruit.
Grapefruit? I don't think grapefruit would work.
Huh.
How's that going to work?
I don't know. I don't know what we're talking about.
I'm sure if you tried really, 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 really hard.
I'm sure it's possible because
you can
pop a baby's head through there. A baby's head ain't exactly small.
Yeah, I mean, it's... But again, the wonders of the vagina for women who had no idea what they were.
But see, that's totally unfair because the woman's reproductive system doesn't completely contain only the vagina.
Yeah, but again, during the 50s, okay, babies only came out of it once you got married. Okay.
I think there needs to be a broader term, and I don't mean hoo-ha or vajay-j. It's something that kind of sums up the whole package, if you will, there, because you've got the clitoris, you've got the various inner folds and, you know, crevices and stuff that goes around before you even get to the vagina. What? You're the one who's been talking about this for 5 minutes, and I'm chiming in with my viewpoint, and you look at me like I'm fucking insane.
I'm looking for the term, and it's reproductive cul-de-sac.
Cul-de-sac.
That's
so hot.
Well,
huh?
Oh, baby. Well. Oh,
that's
baby.
That's not exactly reproductive.
Oh, stick
fun.
It in my cul-de-sac. I want to feel your throbbing purple warrior inside my cul-de-sac. Yeah. So,
anyway,
we talked about the vagina monologues, but unfortunately we're not reviewing them. We're reviewing Step Up to the Streets. So,
-5, repetitive, dance, because of vagina bullshit.
Okay, I said 2.
So, based on the vagina monologues, what's your review of Step Up to the Streets?
Mine? I said 8 or 9.
Did you really?
I think so. I don't remember.
Is this
base 5 or base 10 scale? Oh, shit. In that case, Horton gets an 8. Sorry.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I mean, I thought we were going like base 5. I thought it was base 10.
That's thumbs.
Amber?
He still stuck on thumbs.
One? Wow. Well, dang. You're being harsh today.
Dang.
What? It's a fucking dance movie.
I know.
What did you... You gave it more than one.
Oh, here we go. Be Kind Rewind. After Jerry's brain becomes magnetized and erases every tape at a video store, he and his friend work to recreate movies such as The Lion King and RoboCop.
Yeah, I want to see it.
So basically, they work in a video store. Dude's brain becomes magnetized. It erases all the videos in the movie store. They panic, so they start shooting new copies of the movies to rent to people. So, like, they have to remake RoboCop so people can when they rent it, they'll have a movie to watch.
6 for effort, 4 for result.
Well, how do you know if you haven't seen the... I mean...
Okay.
Yeah.
Who
here's reviewing a movie you haven't seen? What are you, some sort of idiot?
I know, but...
Who here has seen YouTube? Gotcha. Who here has seen the Sundance Channel? Gotcha. It's independent films. And the cracking on it. If you've seen Home Movies, the cartoon, you've seen this movie.
No.
Yes.
One thing, Home Movies does not have Home Movies. Most definite.
Because he didn't get requested to be in it.
Oh, why did I think of that?
Okay. He could have been in it. It would have been... When they make Home Movies the movie, he's in it. Trust me. Guaranteed. Yeah. But
I see that critic.
Home Movies, the motion picture, done live action, equals the one you just called my name there.
I think you're way off, but okay. I'm looking forward to that, and I think I'm probably going to go about a 7 or 8. Not enthused enough to give it the full 10, but I'm feeling pretty positive about that.
Yeah, I'll give it like 7 or 8.
Well, it's better than the short part package thing you were talking about earlier. Give yourself a little credit.
Huh?
Hi, Paul.
Anyway.
How you doing, Sean?
Is this the end of the podcast?
No.
Okay, so...
So what's next?
I'm waiting on Amber's...
Oh.
One?
For one? You're giving that one 1 too? Wow.
We're on the next. We're beyond that one. We're on the next one now.
Uh-huh.
You're giving it a 1?
I'm watching that one.
Dang, you're hard.
Damn.
I'd be hard tonight. I'm going
to pull out mine. It's by the same guy that did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
So,
oh, that means you're going to... Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's got Jack Black in it. That bumps it down to 1. It will rise. It will not rise above the one mark.
What'd you think of King Kong?
I like my
chef. What about Nacho Libre? Huh?
That would also get a 1.
What about King Kong?
Yeah, King Kong, yeah.
I've honestly never seen a King Kong movie.
That movie's fucking good. That movie was really, 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 really good. And it had Jack Black in it.
Which
yeah.
Movie?
What are we going to follow our discussion up there with? Or be kind of, I mean, music-wise, we want to hear? Anybody?
The artist's name is Yippa. Yppah.
So this is Yippa with the song Long Time. That was John Patillo beatboxing while playing the theme to Super Mario Brothers on the flute. There's a whole bunch of those online. If you just do a search for flute beatbox in YouTube, you will find them. Good stuff. That he's got one of Inspector Gadget, which he combines with Axel F at one point. And he's beatboxing too. And he plays flute really, really well. But he also beatboxes really well too. So it's kind of an impressive thing. So, we're having a new segment we're debuting on the show.
Uh-oh.
We've talked about doing this before. We've never actually done it. We're going to read wines from the wine line, which is this thing in the spirit. If you don't live in Augusta, Georgia, or this area, some of these you may not appreciate, but some of them, I'll try to avoid those unless they're really absurd. Let's see.
Do we pass this back and forth? And each
I was going to read it the first time. I mean, we can pass it around.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I've done my research. I've read the wine line this week already.
Okay. Well, this is the wine. At least idiots tend to clump together. I now will steer clear of Texas and Ohio to protect my intellectual sanctity. I was concerned about health care. This election shows me that our school systems have been handing out diplomas to the brain dead. We really need to address education.
What is that in reference to?
Well, I'm assuming that's a reference to the fact that Obama kind of, he didn't beat Hillary, but, you know, that they expected Hillary to win in Texas and Ohio, and they didn't. One thing I can think of.
All right.
Because he talks about health care, and Hillary's the health care one, you know, the one that, I will basically make sure that every single person who has cancer in this country will be cured.
Cured?
Cured.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Okay.
Lay your hands upon my presidency. I think at this point, too, that's a little presumptuous. Why don't you wait until the actual election before you start making statements like that?
I'm looking forward to the convention. I hope there's riots.
Well, the fact that Hillary would rather a Republican win than not her, which seems to be the major problem of her campaign these days.
Yeah.
It's like, if I can't win, then we can't have a presidency. We're just going to a dictatorship.
If I can't win, I'm going to take my ball and go home.
Yeah. Of course, I think she already did that.
No. She's got a completely different... do you think Bill had sex with her? Seriously?
Well,
I don't.
Whenever she allows him to, I'm guessing.
Yeah, well, then he probably doesn't get to.
I'm guessing that. Sean Clyde can play several hundred instruments. This man has the underpinnings of greatness. Hire him.
Who?
See, how did that end up on the wine line?
Because they did a little story about the guy last week.
The people opening up new businesses should do some research and make sure their employees and customers have somewhere to park, then parking would not be an issue. Now, you cannot come into an already established area and expect people to bow down and let your customers park in their lot. Parking should have already been arranged before you open your business. It's not the business owner's fault. Your customers have nowhere to park. If it's a problem for you and your customers, then move your business somewhere else.
I didn't even quite follow that.
Yeah, it looks like there were several contradictions.
The complaint is that if you can't find some place for your staff and customers to park, then the business shouldn't exist.
Yeah, but then on the flip side, they're saying that it's not the business's fault for not having it. I just don't understand the why. It doesn't make sense.
Well, you wanted something nationwide, but that would be true anyway.
Yeah, you're right. That is true just about everywhere, so.
Well, this sounds like it may have been written by someone who owns a business or a parking lot.
A beef with somebody.
Yeah, it's like, I have a parking lot, and your customers are parking in my parking lot, yeah. And going to your business. My business, which is being ignored, and now it's losing parking. And this is the extent of the wine line?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
This might not be the best week of the day, dude.
Well, this one I kind of like. I would like to note that one new restaurant is really beautiful inside as well as out, but I hope the staff gets straightened out soon after their grand opening jitters or whatever. I went this past Saturday and they brought me my entree first, partially raw. The manager came over to apologize and the waitress was really nice and attentive. After they cooked my salmon all the way through, it was delicious. But I sure wish I had more than the five thin spears of asparagus. So, gosh, this new restaurant, I really wish that they knew what they were doing completely before they actually opened. I mean, I don't want to have to help them get their shit together. I want it to already be together before they serve me. So, they're getting it right. They deserve our attention and support, basically.
What's the name?
But if they're really good, oh, they won't say. Yeah.
It says the new restaurant.
Yeah.
So basically, the new McDonald's, I wish they gave me more asparagus.
Well, actually, that wouldn't be a bad thing, because I've been to McDonald's twice in the past month, and both my...
Experience was poor, to say the least.
Well, the food was, again, half raw.
Wow.
Yeah,
so that was you who wrote this wine.
No. If it said double quarter pounder with, and meat was rare, that would have been me, because, I have a thing about McDonald's food being rare. I'm a rare steak guy. I love red meat that's, cooked the right way, but I don't see McDonald's doing that right.
Okay, then.
One of their burgers raw would leave you in the bathroom for 2 hours, provided you made it that
not
far.
For you, McDonald's.
It's 4 a.m, and your digestive system can't handle any Waffle House grease, you go to McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, because the Waffle House grease is so terrible compared to the McDonald's grease.
Well, the McDonald's grease, it's just, poor health. The Waffle House grease is an accelerant. You can actually time the amount of time it takes for food to go through your system, and you better be near a toilet when time is up. That's what I'm saying.
I've never had a problem. Waffle House grease. I don't know. I guess it maybe depends on what you get. Are you walking into Waffle House and ordering 2 hot dogs and 2 cheeseburgers and some catfish? Or...
Okay. I walk into their restaurant ordering the food that they have, not making sexual innuendos. Shame on you.
Yeah, that's totally what I was doing.
Catfish. Yeah, hot dogs and catfish? Yeah, I know what you mean by that. You damn southerners. Hey, mind if I put my hook in your catfish? I know what that means. I've seen you guys in action.
Thanks, Amber. Local rock radio sucks. If it's not the same songs played every hour, then it's the DJs who won't shut up. After thinking about it for so long, I finally subscribed to satellite radio, and loving it and wondered why I waited so long.
That's an interesting point. You know, I used to work for satellite radio.
What's interesting about XM, which is now the only game in town, by the way, They're partially owned by Clear Channel, which you can see on their website if you go to their website and look up information about them. That's interesting because Clear Channel is the company that has made regular radio suck so much. The difference is that regular radio is actually kind of sort of somewhat free, whereas XM radio is not free.
So you can either pander on free radio, hoping to God you get all the people you need to buy from all the people you sold advertising to, or you can collect your money up front and just play music.
Well, unfortunately, XM Radio has changed their format, and they now play commercials. And they always
you have to pay to hear commercials?
Yep. Just like cable TV. Cable TV used to not have commercials on it either.
Great.
People don't remember that, but they did. There was a time in my life when I would turn on Nickelodeon, and it would be show after show. The only commercial you would see was between the shows for other Nickelodeon shows. Now they have commercials. But that's true of all the cable stations. Well, almost all of them. We're going to play another song, and we're going to do our shout-outs and get out. So what does anybody want to hear?
Well, quick question. You ever heard of a DJ Shitbat?
No, I've never heard of a DJ Shitbat.
Play,
Tori Andrews.
Just thought I'd ask.
Winter.
That's my favorite song I've heard.
Get my new boots on. I get a little warm in my heart when I think of winter. I put my hand in my father's glove. I run off where the drifts get deeper. Sleeping Beauty trips me with a frown. I hear a voice, you must learn to stand up for yourself, 'cause I can't always be around. He says, when you gonna make up your mind? When you gonna love you as much as I do? When you gonna make up your mind? So fast, all the white horses.
Winner by Tori Amos. Probably my favorite Tori Amos song.
Mine too.
You know, being sarcastic.
No way.
Well, for those of you who like movies about penguins walking.
Huh?
Right.
March the Penguins?
We'll pick one.
Happy Feet?
Four Weddings and a Funeral?
There were penguins in that?
Batman Returns?
Batman Returns?
Oh, there were penguins in that, yeah.
What's the... No, not Happy Feet.
March the Penguins?
No, March the Penguins. It had, Ben, not Ben Stiller. No. It was whenever he got drunk, the penguin would appear when he was going out to the mailbox to get the Porno Max. Also, they had the movie Big Daddy.
Oh, not that asshole.
Really stupid Canadian.
Ben Stiller?
Not Ben Stiller.
Ben...
South Park?
No, the schmuck who makes the movies that really shouldn't be having any attention whatsoever.
Billy Madison was the name of the movie. The penguin would appear when he was drunk.
That asshole.
That asshole.
Okay. David Spade?
No.
David
Not
Brown.
As short as David Spade.
Well, that helps.
Comedy about as bad.
I have no clue how tall David Spade actually is. He's
a shorty.
Is he?
Oh, just please look up Billy Madison on IMDb right quick, and his face will appear, and you'll go, oh, that schmuck.
Yeah, I know David...
The hockey golf.
I know who David Spade is. Adam Sandler? Yeah.
Thank you! That fucker.
That piece of shit.
Yeah. Like, guy's so bad, I don't want to remember his name.
You know, his recording stuff's actually pretty funny, like his comedy.
Put on your yarmulke. Time to celebrate
Hanukkah. Well, why don't you pull out your cock and balls and walk them around your nuts for a while?
It's a chair, baby!
It's a chair, baby. You can stare at my junks. I don't mind.
Oh,
yeah, it is.
Yeah. I got this snake, man. One time, my neighbor's dog has a 2-inch itch.
It's about as funny as watching skateboarders fall down.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh my god, that shit stuff. Is funny. Come on.
What, skateboarders falling down? Yes.
No, well, yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about.
I hit me in the goat ass.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Adam Sandler is about as much fun as a car accident.
The party ventriloquist was hands down one of the funniest sketches I have ever heard.
Shout outs to Adam Sandler.
Shout out to Adam Sandler. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't look behind you. Don't notice the truck's about to run you over. That's my shout out to Adam Sandler.
And
a death threat.
Shout out to the Spirit, since we're apparently ganking more and more than material every week.
Yeah. Shout out to the Spirit.
All the restaurants who push grease instead of food.
Shout out to Tribal Urge.
The tattoo shop. That's
35,000 documents.
Yes.
That sounds like the generic woman recording.
Yeah. 35,000.com.
Mind the gap.
Talk to your doctor about 35,000.com. Side effects may include
prolonged
pain
use.
In
prolonged use of 35,000.com may produce loose
a shapeless mass.
That's right. Yes. So.
Right. To all the nutters on my moon hoax video. All the nutters.
Shout out to IBCS crew.
Shout out.
They're a bunch of nutters too.
What's up, bitches?
Is one of those bitches on Q?
No.
I'm not allowed in that crew.
Nope. Maso, Sev, Note, Alert.
Satire. Okay, I'm getting my second
loop.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Does that mean you're about to fart?
You're about to do.
Huh?
You're about to do for a fart, aren't you?
No. Once we get walking out, I'll
show her.
She'll propel herself. Like a rocket engine. Atomic batteries are powered.
Look, you didn't get a Batman image in your mind there, right there. Come on.
I was thinking Gas Crisis, but, you know.
Hi, Mr. Pierce. Don't forget, you can email us with this thing we have right here.
Please remember to send all email, all hate mail, and all comments to ebaofvn@gmail.com and sirmildredpierce@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Visit us online at podcast.shapelessmass.com. You can visit me online at shapelessmass.com. I would tell you where to visit Mr. Pierce, but he walked out.
Nope,
don't tell him.
No. That was a pretty good note. Can you do that again?
No.
Yeah, that's not bad.
No.
Impressive.
I actually can't sing. So anyway, thanks for being on the show, Paul. 35,000.com. That's spelled out.
Spell it. Please spell don't use numbers. If you use numbers, you get to hit him in the testicles with a punch of whatever.
Hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Pierce. You get to hit Mr. Pierce in the testicles. I don't even know about that.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening, everybody. And now Paul's going to impress us with his turntable skills. Bye. Fuck G.I. Joe. Welcome to Podcast Number 49.
You guys don't even get to hear any of that
shit. That was Scarlet's job.
Who?
Yes.
Scarlet.
And the Baron.
Oh, that's right, yeah.